Please be seated.
Oh, man, that has been really great.
Oh, has it?
Yes. I've appointed the Committee on Government Contract Compliance. Dwight Palmer as chairman. James B. Casey. Dowell L. Davis. Irving Engel.
Mr. President, would you give us the title of the third reading? Dowell?
D-O-W-D-A-L. H. Davis. Irving Engel. Oliver Hill. And George Meany. And this has been mimeographed, and you have a copy of it.
That second name, so was Jim Carey.
Oh, I left Carey out. He's Secretary Treasurer. James B. Carey. But you have a copy of this, so there won't be any errors in it. What's on your mind, Tony?
Mr. President, I was just wondering if you are aware now of General Eisenhower's availability.
Well, Tony, I read 5 or 6 papers every morning, and I am.
Mr. President, can you say whether that availability has made any change in your mind?
No.
You can't say, or it hasn't?
It hasn't.
Mr. President, could you tell us, sir, what the significance is of your request of Mr. McKinney and through him to Senator Humphrey that your name not be entered in the Minnesota preferential primary?
Well, the same situation as it has always prevailed. I'm not ready to make any announcements.
Well, your request is not be entered does not necessarily mean that you have decided not to seek.
It doesn't preclude me from anything.
President, last week when the Attorney General left your cabinet meeting, he said that he anticipated no change in his status. Can I comment on that?
He's correct. There will be no change.
Mr. President, a few months ago, I believe, you told us that your favorite candidate for the Republican nomination was Senator Taft. Have you changed your...
No, I haven't.
Mr. President, I think it's this time to have some fun.
Well, this is strictly a contract compliance commission.
Yes. Congress controls the Texas Commission.
They're fine gentlemen. The Attorney General will carry out the job that's necessary.
Now, Mr. President, would you tell us why you think Mr. Taft would be the easiest for the Democrats to beat?
Well, May, if you can't figure it out, there's no use my trying to explain it.
I don't know what I think.
I have no comment. Wonderful man. No comment.
Mr. President, there's been a lot of talk that your eventual course might be determined by the identity of a Republican candidate. Would that affect your thinking, sir?
Well, I will give you the information on my course before there's any Republican nomination, Joe.
Thank you. That'd be Smith out of $5.
Did you beat him out of $5? All right.
That's the way I read it.
Why'd you tell me?
Mr. President, I wondered if you could give out your personal message of your assistant, Prime Minister.
Very satisfactory. The communique tells you everything that's necessary to be said.
Mr. President, you said the Attorney General will carry out the so-called cleanup affair. Does that mean that there will be no special commission such as was talked about at one time?
That's correct.
President, you said it's necessary. Don't you think it's necessary?
No, I do not.
I mean the Attorney General will carry out the job if necessary.
He will carry it out, and of course, whatever's necessary will be done by the law enforcement officer of the government.
But you do think it is necessary to do something about it.
Whatever is necessary to be done will be done, Pete.
Mr. President, is that bad? Is this name of the commission idea of
I think that the law enforcement officer of the government is the one to carry out the cleanup if a cleanup is necessary. And in some places, I think it is. And we've cleaned up a lot of places.
We had a report that Dan Fuller up here.
He's always been a consultant of mine. He's a good Baptist. Well, we'll answer that when it becomes necessary.
Mr. President, you said to start that after reading the papers, you were aware of General Eisenhower's availability for the Republican presidential nomination. What do you think of that?
Well, I think I answered that question, Smitty, back in August when I said I thought Eisenhower is a grand man. I have the utmost confidence in him. And I gave him one of the most important jobs that this government has to offer. My ideas and my position with regard to General Eisenhower have not changed.
Mr. President, at that August press conference, as I recall it, the question was about a statement that you had made to General Eisenhower in 1945.
48.
In 45, sir.
No, it was in 48. 48, the statement you're referring to, I'm sure.
Well,
but go ahead.
The statement, sir, being that if there was no job the general might want that you wouldn't help him get, and if this specifically included the presidency of the United States in 1948. And I ask you at the August press conference whether that statement applied equally to 52.
So, here's a transcript of that press conference, and you're entitled to read it. And it still stands.
The statement still stands.
Yeah.
Now what stands?
Read it.
Read it.
All you have to do is to read it.
We don't have the shreds.
We'll let you read it, Tony.
Read it slowly.
Tony, read it slowly.
I would like to ask you, this is a question, I would like to ask you about another statement. In the general's book, Crusade in Europe, he quotes you as having told him, when you were in Europe one time, that there was no position he wanted that you wouldn't help him get, and that specifically included the presidency in 1948. I would like to know if that applies to 1952 as well as 1948. The president, it certainly does. Question, it certainly does. The president, yes, I am just as fond of General Eisenhower as I can be. I think he is one of the great men produced by World War II.
That's absolutely true, Tony. Go ahead.
And I think I have shown that by giving him the most important job that is available for his ability. Question. Mr. President, would that mean that if General Eisenhower wants to be president, you would help him get that job? The President. I didn't say that. Question. Well, Mr. President, I would like to know what was, not to cross-examine you, but what were you referring to when you said it certainly does to Bill Lawrence's statement? The President. Well, you will have to translate that any way you can, Smitty. I am glad. I am glad, as I say, I am very fond of General Eisenhower. I don't think he is a candidate for president on the Democratic ticket.
And he said that just the other day.
And I couldn't very well help him to be a candidate on the Republican ticket, because I don't think that would do him any good. Anyway, I have another candidate on the Republican ticket. Question, would that be Senator Taft, sir? It would be.
There's your answer.
I'll have to congratulate you for giving McCarroll the microphone and getting him back again.
Well, Tony's always telling me to go slowly, and I just wanted him to try his own hand at the thing.
Did you get a chance to make any nuts?
Yes, I have. He said he would continue as long as it was necessary, or as long as he thought, as I thought he ought to. I have that in writing.
Mr. President, in that connection, you were asked at an earlier press conference how long that might be.
I can't answer.
Yes,
I can't answer.
I think you said that it wouldn't interfere with any ideas General Eisenhower might have.
That's correct.
Next to the president.
That's correct. I don't want to stand in his way at all because I think very highly of him. And if he wants to get out and have all the mud and rotten eggs and rotten tomatoes thrown at him, that's his business. I won't stand in his way.
Well, Mr. President, the general's statement the other day said that he would not ask to be relieved, and that leaves the initiative with you, does it not?
Unless he's nominated, in which case he'll have to be relieved.
Mr. President, would you consider that if you were a Democratic candidate and he were a Republican candidate, you'd be standing in his way?
Not the slightest. I always hoped he'd turn out to be a Democrat.
Mr. President, as of the moment, does it appear that General Eisenhower would stay in Europe, then at least until July?
He'd stay there, I'm sure, as long as it's absolutely necessary for him to stay. That may be July.
What I meant by that, sir, was do you anticipate that the possibility of the situation changing so that you could make a change in command between now and July?
I shall not ever relieve General Eisenhower except at his request.
Well, he said he wouldn't ask to be relieved, and I was getting at your timing.
I am saying to you that I will not relieve him except at his request. May, what's on your mind?
Well, that brings it down to the nomination, doesn't it? Because he said he would not ask to be relieved.
All right, you better consult him. I told you what I'm going to do.
Well, you said also a moment ago, didn't you, that if he were nominated, he'd have to ask to be relieved.
Well, of course he would. Can't run for president and be the commanding general in Europe.
Mr. President, if I may assume to clarify Mr. Lawrence's question, I take it that he wants to know whether you think that the situation in Europe will be easier by next July than it is now, so he can be spared.
I can't answer that question because I don't know. I hope it will be.
President, did you know last August that General Eisenhower was not a Democrat and was run preferably as a Republican?
No, I had been told at that time that he was a Democrat.
That he was a Democrat?
Yes. I was told by a brother of a former governor of Kansas that at 18, General Eisenhower was one of the precinct workers for George Hodges when he ran for governor on the Democratic ticket in Kansas and was elected. That's all the information I had at that time.
Who was that governor of Kansas?
George Hodges.
Hodges.
Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S.
Mr. President, what do you think of Paul Douglas' proposal that the whole party
nominated? Well, I've always been against a one-party system. I think that's the road to communism.
Mr. President, why don't you find out he was a Republican? Sir?
On his announcement, just the other. Well, I came to that conclusion after all the conversation that had gone on, and I was assured in it on the statement that he made. Well, I tell you, I was thinking about the situation.
Mr. President, a moment ago, I interviewed you to say that he would stay on at least until July.
He'd stay on as long as I can keep him there. Because I want him to stay. I like him. He's doing a good job.
What is your general thinking, sir, on the question of a professional military man?
Well, I might refer you to a historical document in the American Dictionary of Biography. In 1852, a general ran for president. Read that. His name was Winfield Scott. That'll give you the answer.
Could you sort of give us a clue, Mr. President?
No, you're going to have to do your own reading. I'm not going to quote history to you. I'll teach you some history.
And you agree with the...
Read the biography of General Scott. And then you might read also the biography of the fellow that beat him, whose name was Franklin Pierce. He was a brigadier general in Scott's army. And it's most interesting. Read them both and do you good.
Mr. President, do you mean that if the next president could not be a Democrat, you think that Eisenhower would make the best president for the country among the Republicans?
I didn't say that. I don't think the country would be good under any Republican.
Are you comparing Eisenhower with Winfield Scott?
Read the biography and see what you think.
I've read something about Scott.
Well, read it. You haven't read it all, and you better read Franklin Pierce's, too.
Mr. President, how could you run against a fellow you like so well?
Easily. I've done it before. That I'll answer at a later date.
Said that you would answer that before the Republican convention.
That's correct.
Decision. Will Mrs. Truman be happy with your decision?
You ask her. I don't speak for her. I call her the boss.
Mr. President, when are you going to get back on your train?
Well, whenever the Democratic convention is over, I shall go out and try to elect the Democratic candidate, whoever he may be.
Do you anticipate a before the convention?
No.
Justice Murphy's designation changed the matter here. Is it because he turned down his vote to abandon the Commission?
Well, I came to the conclusion, after much thought, that it is the business of the office of the Attorney General to do the job.
Mr. President, I have one question on that. David Lawrence's column, they said that you had offered the Attorney General's office to Justin Miller.
I have no comment on that, Tony.
Mr. President, did you get a declination of that from Judge Murphy in writing?
Yes.
Could you make that letter public, sir?
No, I shall not.
Mr. President, after all this beating around the bush, somebody asked you right out, will you run again if you answer?
No, I will not answer, Bob. You wouldn't have anything to talk about at the next press conference if I answered that. I said under a Republican. I stick to that.
Well, Mr. President, do you think that the general has enough Democratic information so that it wouldn't make too much difference?
I can't answer that because I haven't talked to him about it.
We have a report from Paris this morning that General Gallatin of Tassigny is dying and left people.
I didn't hear that.
We have a report from Paris this morning that General Gallatin of Tassigny, the French High Commissioner into China, is dying, and
I hadn't heard that, and I'm extremely sorry to hear that that's true, because he's a great man and has done a wonderful job in Indochina.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome, Smith.